You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for March 1st, 2018. The Western Conference playoff insanity was on full display last night. We'll break that down. And why are the Pelicans so good? And are we actually just trying to knock out the Nuggets and the Spurs? Who are we trying to knock out of the playoffs? It's all coming up. Plus, your questions on a Facebook Live edition. Next on Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Glad to have you aboard. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you expertise, insight, a little behind the curtains look at things, and some geeky numbers. And it's brought to you today by Slow the Flow, The Advocates, and a Thursday live edition brought to you by Shamrock Auto. Always appreciate the guys over at Shamrock Auto sponsoring our Thursday live Facebook editions on the show. They've been with us for quite a while now. Rob Taylor, not Rob Thomas, and the crew there. Really appreciate them. I asked Rob, tell me why the Shamrock experience is different. Number one, he said, is the salespeople are helpful, nice, Shamrock, there's no pressure. He said, it isn't a big deal if customers don't buy from us. It is a big deal that we take care of our customers. Everyone at Shamrock will work very hard to get every customer a great truck, great car, and then fit their needs and budget. Looking at nearly new car, usually Chevys, Buicks, Fords, Chrysler, Hondas, Toyotas, Nissans, Acura, like really pretty much everything out there. They don't have a car in stock. They'll go and get it for you. Number two, if you mentioned that you heard it at Locked On Jazz, they'll give you the friends and family pricing. That's 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. That's Rob's cell phone. You just call him. He likes that. So they take care of their customers. Upfront, transparent pricing, and you get the friends and family pricing. And they have really nice cars. It's really what you want. 50% of Shamrock's business comes from prior customers along the way. And you can check out their reviews at googlecars.com, Dex Knows, all those things you'll see. It's out in Pleasant Grove, 203 North, 2000 West. 2000 West, same road as North County Boulevard, right off exit 275 in Pleasant Grove. Shamrock Auto, thank you. All right, let's do it. I want to dig into the playoff picture, and we're going to probably start the shows like this for a while because it is just insane every night. And last night, some big things happened. One, the Pelicans, this is how we're going to do this the whole time. I broke it up into certain wins. That's wins where 538 on the day in which I did this, win percentage was 80% or more. Should wins, which is like 60 to 80%, pick'ems. Unlikely, which is 20 to 40%, and zero chance, which is usually scheduling your opponent 0 to 20. Here's the thought I have on this. I think that of the certain wins, you really have to win 100% of them. Thus far, everybody has. Number two, I think that of the should wins, 60, 80, I think you're going to win about 75% of them. The flaw that I see in the metrics around the 538 models and those things is that their assumption is that your performance is going to be equal to what it has been up to that point. And I think when you look at that and you see that assumption's flawed because everyone's going to play a little bit better and frankly the bad teams are going to play worse. So those 80 to 100 wins I think actually have to be 100. The Jazz have 7 of them left. The next closest is Oklahoma City with 4. That's our big edge. So we just can't lose any of those games. Right? So those games are Orlando Monday night, Detroit, Phoenix, Sacramento, Atlanta, the Grizzlies, the Lakers, that's it. Those are the games. You cannot afford to lose a single one of those. Then the next thing is the should wins. And this is interesting because the percentage of these is 60 to 80. My assumption is they're going to win about 75%. So far, that hasn't happened because the two teams that have been favored that are playoff teams, San Antonio and Denver, have lost to lost to other playoff teams or teams that are battling to be in the playoffs. So we'll keep an eye on that. But San Antonio last night lost one of their eight. Denver lost to the Clippers. Those games, the Clippers have 11 left. Portland has 10 left. Denver has 8 left. Minnesota, San Antonio have 7 left. Oklahoma City has 6 left. The Jazz have 6 left. New Orleans has just 5 left, which is why what New Orleans did last night is so mammoth. Then of the pick'ems, so far the Jazz had the only pick'em game against Houston, lost it. Of the unlikelies, which is a 20 to 40% chance of winning, and I actually think this will get closer to 40 to 50%. San Antonio has, Oklahoma City, check that again. New Orleans had 8 of them. They're down to 6. They're 2-0 in those games. They beat Milwaukee and they beat the Spurs in games that they were not projected to win or were even unlikely to win. The Clippers have 6 left. They're 1-1 so far. San Antonio has 6 left, so they're on the high end. They did win the one that they had already in which they beat Cleveland. Denver has 5 left. Portland has 5 left. I think I've got everybody. The Minnesota and the Jazz have just 4 of those left. And then of the no-chance wins, New Orleans does have 2. Everybody but Minnesota and Utah have 1. So Minnesota and Utah only have 4 games left that they're unlikely to win or have no chance. New Orleans has 8 left but has won their first 2, which is why their win last night over San Antonio is just mammoth. When I built this, my projections came out as crazily Minnesota at 50, Oklahoma City at 49, Portland at 48, Denver at 47, Clippers at 47, Utah at 47, Spurs at 47, Pelicans at 46. Pretty clear that the Pelicans aren't at 46 anymore. That's super clear, right? Pelicans are now going to be in that 47 group as well. This is insane. I didn't do it in the sense that, you know, the way I've done this is I took, so, you know, if New Orleans has 2 certain wins, they got 2 wins there. They had 5 shoulda wins. I think I probably gave them 4 of those, so that's 6. They had 7 pick'ems. I gave them 4 of those. That's 8. They had 8 unlikelies. I probably gave them 3. That's 11 and 2 no chances. Somehow I actually had them a little higher than that. I don't quite know how as I'm looking at the numbers here. On the unlikelies, maybe I gave them 6 and 4. That's 10, 4, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, so Pelicans still have a tough road here, but they have done an incredible job. The one that's crazy is San Antonio. San Antonio is not out of the weeds of missing the playoffs yet. If you look for certain wins, they have 2. Should wins, I had them winning 6 of 8 should wins. That's 75%. They lost one last night. Pick'ems, I probably had them winning 3 of the 4. That gets them to 9. Unlikelies, I probably had them winning 3. That gets them to 12. And that got them to 47 wins. They're going to have to do something. Their next 2 are against the Lakers and Memphis, both nearly 80% win. Then they're Golden State, Oklahoma City, Houston, back to Orlando. They play the Pelicans and the Timberwolves again. They've got to win those games. Then Golden State, Washington, a big one against Utah where they're favored. That's going to be a huge game on the 23rd. Then they go back Milwaukee and Washington where they're not. They've got a brutal, brutal stretch here. So San Antonio is not out of the weeds at all. And last night, and actually if you follow me on Twitter when I first did this, I said Pelicans and Spurs play 3 times. If Pelicans beat the Spurs 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3, Spurs have a hard time making the playoffs. Last night was one the Spurs were supposed to win. The Thunder snuck by in overtime last night against Dallas. Dallas. It's a win. It counts. They got Phoenix next. It's another win. I had them at 49 wins because their schedule's really, their schedule's as easy as anyone's. Their schedule's almost as easy as Utah's, and they're starting with four more wins. Point of this, by the way, also, that I've said this whole time in regards to the Jazz, is everyone says, oh, we're going to make the playoffs. If everyone's winning all their games and you're behind by two or three games, it's awfully hard to catch them. They're just the wiggle, oh, there's 20 games left. That's actually not that many. If everyone else is going to go 14-6 or 13-7 and you're trying to catch people, it's going to be insane to try to do that. 45 wins is not getting you in. Now, the other models, 538, Basketball Reference, all of those are not as optimistic about the high win totals as I am because, as I said, they're projecting that everyone is going to play the same way that they did for the season up to this moment. And both the stratification of the NBA is significant enough that that's not true. I know that on the Facebook Live we're having some connection issues. I got to tell you what, I think Facebook Live sucks. I apologize for my language. Someone was upset with me using that word the other day. They're also upset with me using crap, so maybe their standards are much higher than mine. But I'm on the Wi-Fi in the house, which is pretty good. I have no other distractions like I do in the arena, and it's still having a hard time holding video, which is too bad. But I'll get to your questions. By the way, the 538 has Rockets, Warriors 1-2, Timberwolves 3, Blazers 4, Spurs tied at 5, Thunder tied at 6 at 47, Pelicans at 40. Wait a sec, did I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Pelicans at 7 at 46, Clippers in at 45. I don't think 45 gets it done. Jazz and Nuggets out at 44. Basketball Reference is even more quiet on the win total. They have Warriors, Rockets, Timberwolves at 3 at 48. They all do not have the Jimmy Butler injury. Spurs at 47, Thunder at 47, Blazers at 46, Pelicans at 46, Denver at 44 and in, with the Clippers at 44 and the Jazz at 43. They have our playoff chances down to 39.6. So it's going to be quite a road. Today's show is brought to you in part by Slow the Flow. I love my friends over at Slow the Flow. They are doing such great work. You guys know what to do at this point. You've heard this a few times, and we should continue to support them. We live in this great state. It's a desert. Even though it gets wet every now and then, it's still a desert, and we need to make sure that we do our part. What is doing our part? What are some of the things that we can do? Well, you can check the toilet for leaks. They could waste up to 90 gallons a day. You hear that little sound in the background? Don't just ignore it. Only run your washing machine when you have a full load. Each load uses 30 gallons, so by using half the loads, you save quite a bit. You can get a WaterSense certified shower head, which can save you hundreds of gallons, and get more tips at slowtheflow.org on that. Even when we have a good winter, we still have got to save water. So be a part of it. We can do incredible things. The goal is to reduce water usage by 25% by the year 2025. And we've done some of the math on this show. If you take your five-minute shower, and instead of a tub, you're going from using 70 gallons to 12 to 25. You take one less minute shower, and you're saving a tremendous amount, 1,875 gallons of water every year. And as I've said before, we average somewhere in the range of, well, we were up at 14,000 the other day, but call it 10,000 listeners. We could save, just the group of us together, we could save 18 million gallons of water if we all just showered for 1 minute less. All right, let's get to some of your questions. This is a great question because it's blunt and it's straightforward and it hits, I think, what a lot of people are saying, and that is, what's wrong with Ricky Rubio? Well, nothing. Probably. First of all, I mean, there's probably a little bit of a hip issue. But let's review Ricky Rubio for a second, because I think this is an important note. I think Ricky Rubio will improve with the Utah Jazz than what he did in Minnesota at this age, 27 years old, with more consistent coaching. So I think that it's a fair guess he'll get better. But he's really already gotten dramatically better than he was. So his field goal percentage is 41%. His career average is 38%. That's a big jump. His three-point shooting is 32.6. His career average is 31.7. His effective field goal percentage is 46, which is the best it's ever been in his career. It has increased over the last 4 years from 39 to 43 to 45 to 46. His free throw shooting is right on. So his his shooting numbers, which is really what I think you mean when you talk about him improving. No one's ever talking about defense. Are all improved. He is improved. He is improving. If you are expecting the Ricky Rubio norm to become that unique three-game stretch at the beginning of the season where he scored 20 or more in three straight games against Los Angeles, Dallas, and Portland, shot 49% from the field and 53% from three, that's not going to happen. That's not who Ricky Rubio is. If you are expecting Ricky Rubio, who, starting when he had such an incredible moment where he came out of the locker room bleeding to play before the hip injury, in those eight games, he shot 54% from the field, 56% from three, and scored 21. That's not who he is. Those are hot streaks. The law of averages mean that for the hot streak, you're going to get a cold streak. I actually think the player we got against Houston is probably a good example of who Ricky Rubio is. He went 4 of 10 from the field, 2 of 4 from three, which is probably a little outrageous, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. He had 14 points on 10 shot attempts. Probably going to miss one of those threes on most of those nights, so then he's you know, 3 of 8 from 3 over a course of 2 games. And that's 37%. That's probably too high. But then he's averaged, you know, he's scoring about 25 points on 20 shot attempts. That'd be great. But it's the Rubio thing is, I think you got to understand where you're coming from when you say, you know, is he going to improve? Is he going to, you know, yes, and he is improving, and he is a lot better than he was already, which is, I think, worth noting. So it's curious to me, you know, every time you do an interview anywhere, the Rubio conversation comes up. But what Rubio's already done this year is he's increased his, he's taking this career-high field goal attempts and career-high field goal percentage. Very hard to do. Career-high field goal attempts, career-high effective field goal percentage. Very hard to do. So he has already improved. I've talked about this a lot. The shooting around the rim, he's at 54.5%. And that is his career high around the rim. And that's, he's at 44% on mid-range twos, which is good. These are all steps. So he is improved. There's nothing wrong with him. This is who he is as a player. A fantasy of something else is precisely that. Does that make sense? Kirk says, you slapped me on the back once at a gas station in Park City. I had an Okor jersey on. You said, I never thought I'd see that jersey again. I always thought it was cool. I must, because I remembered it. Hey, all right. Thanks, Kirk. Love memo. In your opinion, do you feel the Jazz will make the playoffs? I have honestly, even during the 11-game win streak, had a hard time with the math on this. So, not any emotion at all. I have a really hard time on the math on it. Now, my model, I haven't done the tiebreaker. My model has us all tying at 47 right now. And maybe even the Spurs falling out of 46, the Pelicans at 47, Clippers at 47, Jazz at 47. I should check it. But it means, like, here's how the Jazz get to that number. The Jazz win all eight of their certain wins. They win five of their six should wins. Gets you to 13. They win three of their pick-ems. That gets you to 16. One of the four unlikelies, and you're at 17. You're at 47. But you, I mean, you can't blink. You have to beat Minnesota on Friday. That's a should win. Sacramento's a should win. Orlando is a certain win. Indiana's a pick'em. You've already lost one of those. I'm giving you three of them. You got to find a way to get... Memphis is a should win. In New Orleans is a pick'em. I don't know how we're getting... Those don't seem like likely wins to me, Indiana and New Orleans. Come back for guarantee, should, you know, certain wins. Detroit, Phoenix, Sacramento, Atlanta, four in a row. Dallas, again, is a should win. And Spurs is an unlikely. Golden State's an unlikely. Boston at home, for whatever weird reason, is a should win. I think it's going to be very hard to get to that 47. And I think that's the number you have to get to. Royce O'Neal question coming and some other fun ones here in a second. Actually, I'll take the Royce O'Neal question now. Does Royce O'Neal have a shot to make an all-rookie team? I don't think so. Well, there's only two all-rookie teams. Is he one of the top 10 rookies this year? I don't think so. I mean, I think this is, don't take this the wrong way, I think this is being a homer where you're only looking and your only perspective is our own guys. I mean, the first team is Mitchell and Simmons are your guards. Tatum and Kuzma are your wings, and Markkanen is your center, probably. Your second team is Dennis Smith, Josh Jackson, John Collins has been really good. Dylan Brooks has got to be considered out of Memphis, probably ahead of Royce O'Neal. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Jared Allen in Brooklyn's really good, by the way. I watched Jared Allen recently. He's really good. So, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he has much of a chance of that. All right, let's get to more of the questions while Facebook continues. Is this a slump, just a slump, or do you feel like this could be a trend? Like the whole team? I mean, they're not the – you got to decide what your emotions are on any of these things. Like, so when we won 11 straight, did you think that that was really who we were and that we were the best team in the NBA? Because that seemed a little outrageous to me at the time. When I kept getting asked by people, is this streak sustainable? I'd say no, because we're not the best team in the NBA. And we're making 50% of our threes. If you take our three-point shooting from the beginning of the streak to today, we're still above average of what we usually are. So, like, I just think, you know, we're for whatever reason, we're a highly volatile team in how we perform, which I think is, frankly, not having a star. I know we think, and we're not volatile defensively, and we have a star there. So offensively, we do not have a star. I know we all think Donovan is. He's not yet. He will be, but he's not yet. Okay, so... And I'm not criticizing Donovan. Let's just be realistic on like what he can and can't do as a rookie in the NBA. So we have a star defensively. You go look at our defensive numbers, we're great every single night. But we don't have one of those 10, 15, 20, 15, 10 offensive players that just dictates a night. And so we have this incredible volatility. So to answer your question, like, is it a slump? I mean, I guess it's a slump. The other was a streak. We're somewhere in the middle. We just rarely play there. There are problems. Like, this team is not perfect, nor is it fully formed, nor it's really in a transition year. Pretty good, darn good transition year. And so, oh, I just got a text from Doris Burke that she's supposed to be getting here, except for travel's getting interesting. Sorry. So that will be, you know, that's kind of who we are. I think we have to be real about that, don't we? I'm in the midst of the battle with you as well. I'd like to win every game. It's high tension. I think it's kind of awesome. Occasionally, I think it's worth backing up and saying, wait a sec, where are we coming from this year? What's going on? And then it's really cool. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Advocates. The Advocates are UtahAdvocates.com. They are an injury attorney led by Matt. They've been in business for 25 years, and they've built this incredible 106-step process for all cases. It's really cool to spend time with them because what they've done is they've taken a craft and figured it out. And so in that craft, they have structured their experience. So here's the first thing that happens is you pick up the phone and call 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. Then you get an attorney calls you within 60 seconds. The attorney is now on your case, gets to know you, puts the case into the system. An airplane checklist kicks in because less than 1% of all car accident cases go to trial and only 3% go to arbitration. So now, boom, 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 boom. And that efficiency leads to productivity, which leads to better communication with you. You're dealing with your attorney. They have special teams, people working on the different things. And that's how Utah Advocates is able to help you out. 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550 for Utah Advocates. Let's go back to the questions. What are the chances Dante Exum still developing into an all-star? Wow. How about NBA rotation player? Can we go there? I mean, I'd like to go there. I mean, it's kind of, you box me into a weird corner on that question, actually. So if I say none, then I'm being a total jerk to Dante, who really hasn't had a chance yet in his career to make those strides. Like, that just is not something that, because of the ACL injury, he's never had a natural progression. So we've seen Dante Exum for a grand total of 2 seasons. Who came in with a very limited sample size of basketball, and I'm supposed to close the door on him being an all-star. I would say it's unlikely. And I actually am going to base it that nobody else in that draft class after him is a star. I think that draft class is becoming a little bit of a bust. Wiggins, Parker, Embiid, Aaron Gordon, all are playing a lot. Dante Exum's next, Marcus Smart, Julius Randle, Nick Stauskas, Noah Vonleh, Alfred Payton, Doug McDermott, Dario Saric, nice player, but remember he's only played 2 years, Zach LaVine, okay, TJ Warren, Adrian Payne, Yusuf Nurkic, James Young, Tyler Ennis, Gary Harris at 19 was a steal, Bruno Cabello is basically out of the league, Mitch McGrady is out of the league, Jordan Adams out of the league, Rodney Hood at 23, nice player, Shabazz Napier, Clint Capella has been really good, but as you can see, that draft class, it's not like the three other guys right after Dante were all-stars. Dante was the fifth pick of that draft class. That draft class is not yielding great dividends. It leads me to think that, no, I think it would be unlikely for Dante to be an all-star. So what are the chances? I think slim. But also, we just have no idea. The problem with these two injuries is we just have no idea who Dante is. He's unique talent. But if you look at his numbers, they're not good. But he hasn't played much. I did the Rubio question. I'm going to ignore Monte Ellis questions. How will the gambling and the NBA stuff affect the Jazz? I think it'll make them a lot of money. But it's why this tanking thing is a real issue, and I think we're hitting a breaking point. I think the draft is going to change as we know it. Which I don't think that. So the gambling plus the tanking, I think we're going to change the draft. I think they're going to de-incentivize losing in every single possible way they can because of the gambling, which will mean changing the draft, which I think will have a negative impact on the Jazz. Non-basketball related question for one. I know that Donovan's dad is in baseball, works for the Mets, but all we know about him, he always praises his mom and sister, but never his dad. His dad was at a game in New York. You know, I don't know if they, but his mom, I know, is very involved, and his sister and him are inseparable. In your opinion, do you feel the Jazz? I already answered that. Fell over. AB looked really good early in the season, had a couple of huge games. Coaching staff seemed to have found a way to turn him into a valuable scorer off the bench. Then what happened? That's a great question. I don't have an answer. Well, this is way too close to me, but it's not holding. I don't have a good answer, but it's a bummer. Alec is incredibly important to us right now. Without Rodney, without Joe Johnson, we're looking for who's going to take those shots on the bench unit. Alec would be that guy, and the recent run is just, it's really been a struggle for him. I don't know if his legs are tired, having not played in as while as he has, but I mean, if you go back even as far as the, like, just split his season in half, so for the last 27 games, actually, if I just literally split it in half, so 28 games on the front side, 28 games on the back. The last 28 games, Alec Burks is shooting 36%, 22% from three. That's from December 15th. So that's just a bummer. And I don't know what's happened. That is a long stretch at 36 and 22 where AB is not the player that we all thought he was going to be. You go look at his previous 28 games. He's shooting 45% and 40% from three. 41. So the first 28 games of the year, Alec Burks shoots. Actually, I have this. Let me get it. I had 27. For the first 27 games of the year, Alec Burks shoots 45% from the field and 40% from three. And since then is 36% from the field and 22% from three. My only thought is that he had not played in so long. He'd played 27, 31, 42 games that when he hit 28 and that somewhere in there, his body just failed him. And that's been the issue as much as anything. That somehow just having not played in that many years caused him to have this fade. I made that up. I don't know. Pack question. Why is Pack not possession based? Someone had Pack of, because of four on 20 possessions, why is that better than three of 10? So I think using a possession is a skill. We're looking at the Jazz right now. We don't have guys that can naturally use possessions in the second unit. And I think that's a skill. The other thing is, it depends a little bit on how you build, to evaluate that is how you build your roster. So Joe Ingles has a pack of three on 10 possessions. If he's with all other above average players that in that next 10 possessions are going to use pack positively, then maybe he is as good a player for your team. But the player who has a four pack over 20 possessions is using 20 of the 100 possessions round number that you get during a game, and then there's no chance of those being negative. So eating possessions is a valuable, valuable skill. That wraps up Locked On Jazz today. Thanks to the Advocates, to Shamrock Auto for the Thursday sponsorship of the show, and to our friends over at Slow the Flow. Have a great day.